thank you for listening to this edition of the Restoration Church Life Podcast. May God continue to give us the grace to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. and beyond.
Hello, Restoration Church. This is Travis Roberts. I'm sitting here with Laura Wolves and our pastor, Joey Kraft. We're sitting in the Middle East, having just got back from a week.
We're not quite back. We got quite the flight ahead of us.
13 hours to go. That's right. But we are on our way. So we've just been visiting some friends in Central Asia, just spending some time encouraging them. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our trip and what we've been processing as we start coming back home.
Yeah. So this was my second time to this location. Both of you are first. So expectations, did it meet what you thought it might be?
I don't know that I had expectations.
Okay, that's always good. Not have expectations. Yeah.
There was this big question mark. All right, I'm going to the Middle East. Okay, but I don't know what to expect. I had heard that the region that we were going to was urban. It was a city, but poor. I knew that there was going to be, that it was going to be a hard culture for some, and a hard, just very different from what anything that I had experienced before. So expecting it to be different doesn't really give you direction.
Yes. But was it different?
Yes, there was. But not as different as I'm sure it could be elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. There's some similarities, but there's differences as well. Yeah,
there's KFC.
Yes, there's some other stuff that's like home, and some other stuff's not. So, Travis, on your end, expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I've kept saying that I didn't know what to expect, but whatever we ran into wasn't it. You know, I think on one hand, one of the expectations that I probably did have coming into it was that we were going to be in a really kind of devout area, if that makes sense. You know, it is a Muslim-majority area. I brought a Quran with me just so I could, you know, look at that and see if there were segues, you know, things that I could take from there and turn people towards the gospel, maybe by pointing out something that echoes something that's in the Bible and I could use that as a link, or something that, you know, the Bible rebukes or that the Bible sees differently, and we could have a conversation there. But interestingly enough, I don't think I found a lot of people who seem to have a real personal hold on their faith. It seemed more of what was expected of them, maybe what their family believed, and so, or really what their family was, and so they are too. And I think you see that a lot in the U.S. as well. My family's Baptist, my family's Methodist, my family's Catholic, but not having a lot of personal knowledge of the faith. And we actually saw that echoed a lot in the areas where we were, and not just with Islam, with a number of different religions.
Yeah. So the majority faith is different than the U.S. right now, but there's a lot of similarities in terms of not a deep personal commitment to that particular religion, and even specifically knowing the source of authority or the holy book behind that religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people that we saw discussing religion more and more interested in just religious conversations and at all were not Muslims. They were part of a religious minority of refugees in the area.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Good. So other thoughts just in terms of the trip, like before we get specific, just the trip itself, expectations, those types of things that you, anything else that came up? What's one thing that you thoroughly enjoyed about the time? Other than we'll get to spending time with our friends. That was for sure just incredible. The laughs and the fun that we had, but other things of the richness of the culture that you had a particular fondness toward.
We've all mentioned how hospitable the culture was, how they have something to teach us about being hospitable. But at the same time, almost to the point of it being too much. Like, like to the point of if we went to someone's house and there's this very set hospitality ritual almost, and if they were poor, like we were trying to not stay longer, right? Yeah. That it would have been very easy. Like they wanted us to stay for dinner. They wanted to give us more things and give us gifts, and they can't afford credit for their phones to get them through till the end of the month.
Yeah. If we wanted to get out of the country without spending a dime, we probably could have done it, right?
Because the common response is you go to, even we were, Travis and I were buying groceries one evening, and it was probably, it was roughly $25 US dollars worth of groceries, which is not a small amount. And the cashier knew our friend and they said, no, this one's on me, this one's on me. And so that was the first response, was we said, no, we're going to pay. And the same thing with one of our taxi drivers that took us a long way. No, this is on me. No, let us pay. And so that idea of hospitality is there for sure.
And sometimes that was sort of, you know, just an expected step in the conversation. Right. But, you know, we had the absolute blessing, and I mean, it was incredible going to a wedding one night and tried to give the groom, not even the groom, but the groom's family a gift, and absolutely refused, you know, pushing the envelope back and forth and all that. So there was sort of this really genuine, you know, it wasn't all just show. There was a lot of just a genuine kind of love and appreciation for even us as Americans, which was also maybe surprising. And people did just want to treat us really kindly and really nicely while we were there.
Yeah, so we're certainly been encouraged through the hospitality. I'm encouraged that they have Coke Zero, which I'm drinking one right now, as a matter of fact. So that was encouraging. Other parts of...
We all really enjoyed the bread.
Yeah.
I mean, the food generally was incredible.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant, you get one soup, two soups...
Five
salad.
Soups.
Yeah, five soups, salad, bread, you know, three different kinds of bread, and then you order your meal. And every bite of it was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that in terms of the hospitality, the food, the richness of the culture, I enjoyed being able to follow up on some of the relationships that we'd started previously with some of the people that I'd met previously, and then even some of the people that I had not met, but the last team that went had met. And so there were a handful of people that we were able to come into, me, Laura, and Travis, and meet and act as though we were already friends, because a couple of months ago, the folks that went had already started a friendship with these people. And so it was really wonderful to see these deepening aspects of friendship across multiple members of our church. So I was in, yeah.
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, one of those relationships, there's this incredible group of people working at a refugee settlement, basically, taking care of kids who had fled violence. One thing that really stuck out to me, you know, I'm looking at getting into the field of kind of violent trauma counseling, and it's part of the reason that I'm going into the field is it's so lacking in so many places. And this was one of the first places that I've been able to travel to and even research where they were doing some of that work and they really saw the importance of it, and they didn't have a lot of resources, you know, they're working at expanding that. But what they had, you know, they put towards taking care of these kids. They created some amazing artwork, you know, just, I mean, simple stuff, but just really beautiful to try to help vent and process some of those feelings out. And that was a pretty special moment. Yeah.
There are also, it seems like, a lot of good NGO workers, like solid Christians who are living out the gospel by taking care of those in need.
Yeah, and in pretty rough circumstances, you know, the place that we were in was really nice, you know, quiet, peaceful, stable, but it wasn't too far away that you could go where things would get pretty rough, and some of these people were, you know, really on the front lines of the kind of work that they were doing.
Yeah. Well, as we've talked about, one of the primary reasons we go is to encourage the long-term workers on the field. We talked about it numerous times, but the book of Philippians seems to be doing that, as well as some of the other letters that Paul has written. And I think we were able to do that with our friends. We delivered gifts. We delivered close to probably 40 letters written by members of Restoration Church.
Yeah.
We took some gifts from home that they couldn't get. Laura went to the grocery store and bought specific things that they can't get in country.
Joe's there.
That's right. We were able to play with their kids and read books and just those types of things. But it's also the other way around, being encouraged. And so what were some of the specific ways, Laura, that you were encouraged on this trip?
One thing that was really encouraging was the local church that we were able to visit. Joey was able to preach there. The service was very thoughtful, and the prayer time was rich, and the room was full. They were at capacity.
It was
beyond capacity.
It was at capacity when it started, and a few people showed up late. That people were out in the hallways still trying to listen in. Like, which is a beautiful problem to have. And so that was really encouraging.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's been neat to see, even over the past year, how much growth has happened in that fellowship and that family. It's quite amazing. So, yeah, yeah, that's good.
And, you know, along those lines of just the church being packed out, the church was packed out, yeah, with believers. A lot of the NGO workers were there. You know, we were there. But one thing that was incredible was there were people from not only unreached people groups in that room, but unengaged people groups in that room. You know, and that means that there's no ongoing or sustained effort to evangelize these people anywhere where they are in the world. Mm-hmm. And there were a good number of those people there who had never set foot inside a church, you know, never really heard the teachings of Christ before, came from a religion that was really from an entirely different branch, you know, not necessarily an Abrahamic faith. And incredible to see them really encountering and being able to understand the gospel the first time.
Which goes back, and for those listening, you should be encouraged that the members who went before us, Nathan, Joe, and Janae, and David, who were able to build these friendships and start friendships that we were able to come into and move right into. So it was really neat to see those types of things happening inside of that. So another way you were encouraged, perhaps, Travis?
Yeah, so while we've been out here, I've been reading through Acts, and there's a section when Paul is leaving Ephesus where it talks about, you know, the kind of heartbreak almost at Paul leaving the Ephesians on both sides. What was just really sweet to me was actually feeling some of that as we left. I wasn't all that close with the people we went out to see before we went there. I talked to them a handful of times. I knew about the work they were doing, but we didn't really have a personal connection. But we really did build up just a sweet friendship with them, with their kids. And I do miss them now, and I think it's sweet to be able to leave somewhere after having just really met someone a week ago and be missing them on the tail end. So I'm looking forward to seeing them again, hopefully soon.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ways that I was particularly encouraged in the trip is both of you engaging. I know that Laura had a longer standing friendship, but Travis, you coming right in and building a quick friendship, but not only with the workers, but also with their children. I mean, how many books did you two read? And playing with the children and serving the children and those types of things. That was an encouragement to my soul to watch you caring for the children so that the parents could go and have time together and yeah, just work on things apart from having children or just them watching you play with their kids during those times. So I was encouraged in that way as well. So.
And encouragement to the parents of Restoration, you guys giving me a chance to disciple your kids through Restoration Kids was definitely helpful in being able to even disciple their kids a little bit from time to time, just as we were reading stories or, you know, even just in conversation. You know, these are young kids, and that's not something that comes easily. But it's something that I've really been able to develop working with your kids, so I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, good.
Another encouragement. Our friends there have many good relationships and have a good reputation among the people that they interact with. We kept hearing, oh, we love them. We love them.
Yes. Yeah, very much. Yeah, they have dear friends. And are highly respected. It makes me think of a scripture where it says, be well thought of by outsiders.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what's happening. So, right. And I've been encouraged by their eagerness to learn the culture, learn the language from scratch so that they can be immersed in that and begin to live lives that are planted in that community. So,
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, our brother there, who he's been studying the language for, what, 1 year, 2 years?
A couple years, yeah.
Something like that. I mean, we were just sitting in taxi cabs, and he'd strike up a conversation right away, just a real natural patter. And that's hard for me to do in English. So just to see him gel with the people there so quickly and so easily, you know, part of that is just how friendly and open they are. Part of that is just got a good personality for it, and he's worked hard at the language, and he's worked hard to get where he's at. So, yeah, he had an easy way, not only with the friends that he's built up there, but just with, I mean, really just about everyone he met.
Mm-hmm.
And another benefit, a way that we were able to encourage them, I was talking to our sister there, that by trying to translate my questions for the people or information about me, that just words that she wouldn't have come across otherwise, it gave her an opportunity to continue learning the language. Because it is hard to become fluent. Like, they can get around really well, but, like, we... as new eyes, new. She had to try and describe what I studied in school, and she didn't know the word for philosophy.
Yeah, and we're able, just as we go on, to help them build relationships. It kind of gives them excuses to enter into conversations as we ask questions and just interact with people on an ongoing basis. They mentioned how that helps them build new relationships.
Yeah. So, Joey, for you being an elder at Restoration and preaching to your congregation, what were some of your reactions to their church there and the work that's going on? I mean, really in the established church there, and maybe how you felt about preaching in front of that crowd versus preaching in D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's certainly always easier to preach to people that you know, because preaching is not just a theoretical exercise, but it's a personal engagement. And so, though the truth of God's word remains the same, there is a interaction that happens when you preach. And so that's missing. But at the same time, those gathering with that international church was helpful to see that, one, there is a gospel light there for English speakers and caring for the English speakers that are doing some hard work.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the weight and the substance of the prayers, of the singing, of those aspects, and just knowing what they preach, knowing that there's depth there as well. And so that's an encouragement, knowing that the long-term workers are being cared for in that way, specifically our friends on a longer-term basis, but also there are some locals who are regularly part of this fellowship, they speak English, though it's not their first language. And so the other thing that I'm encouraged about the international churches is it's holding up a model for hopefully what a indigenous church will, the principles by which to apply. It'll look different because it's a different culture, but it's a model about what does a biblical church and its principles look like. And so that I'm always encouraged when I talk to our brother and sister about this, reminding them that this is more than just feeding your soul. You're able to hold up what might it look like for an indigenous church to become self-sustaining and self-replicating in the culture. So that's why I think that's so important. So both for their spiritual care and for a model of what faithful, Bible-centered, Christ-exalting church principles, not every form is going to be the same, but the principles look like. So yeah. I'm always encouraged by that. So, yeah. Anything else that you want to ask each other, or you want the church to know about your trip? They graciously, though we pay some money to come out here, we also use some funds from the church, and so this, we want to encourage the church as a whole in this. So anything else you think would be helpful for them to know or ask questions as we sit around and talk?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that we've talked about a little bit, Laura, just in terms of the culture is, you know, you were the only female member of the group that went out there. And this is a culture that treats men and women very differently. Did you have any kind of takeaways from just being a woman in the culture while we were out there? Or?
It was very different. I feel like a week is not long enough to have a very comprehensive...
A week is not enough to understand entire culture?
Well, to even have a comprehensive answer to that question.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it was interesting. Like, I would pretty much only greet women when we'd go around to different houses. Very rarely would the husband address me or say, like, they sometimes would. And I think like two men shook my hand during this entire trip. At the wedding we went to, women sat on one side of the rest of the wedding hall and men sat on the other.
Which was really funny, because then when we had the Thanksgiving meal with many American NGO workers, we noticed that we self-selected essentially into male and female.
Well, that's pretty common when they ask...
With Restoration generally.
No, I mean, it's pretty common in places where they have the women eat first.
Yeah, yeah.
But you tend to sit next to the people who already have food.
And anyway, it's just funny that we saw that kind of same kind of phenomenon in a way.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, that's true.
Yes, that it was that I was interacting with women, or trying to. I was interacting through our sister who was working there. Mm-hmm. Just... And seeing that the interesting clothing, what is acceptable to wear, what is acceptable to how to act, just it is very different. I was trying to be very careful, and it was it was just a very different context. It would be very interesting to see how, Lord willing, when a church rises up out of this people group, how that will look, how the gender mm-hmm. dynamics will be in this church, like how in Christ there's neither male nor female,
yeah,
and how that will look as Christ moves through this people group.
Yeah, what's cultural, what's religious, what does gospel right. speak to and through?
Yeah, and those are hard questions, right? On this side of, it's hard to understand what exactly does that look like, but it has some impact. Just like it should have some impact in our churches in America. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Other thoughts or questions that you have? You think?
Joey, I was really encouraged, since this was your second trip, seeing just you interacting with our friends there, like discussing parenting your daughters. And your daughters are a little bit older than their kids. And so you being able to give them advice very humbly and gently, and encouraging them, not claiming to have all the answers, but it was a blessing to just be encouraged, to be affirmed in that you are one of our elders, that we are, that the Lord has given us a good under shepherd.
Praise God. Yeah, it's as I mentioned to them, I think they're obviously. I mean, how well behaved were their kids?
They were great. They were fantastic kids. I love those kids. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
You spend a week with a lot of kids. Like, yeah. You see, in general, you would see a whole lot more behavior problems in fighting than they did.
Yeah. Not perfect, right? No kids are perfect. But again, just affirming them in that. And I think about the support structures that I and the parents of Restoration Church have, and how they have some support structures, but they're obviously limited. And so, again, it's just...
I mean, they don't have a compound with seven other Restoration families to live in, right?
That's right. Yeah. Any other, anything else? So,
shout out to Ruth.
Oh,
how encouraging is our sister Ruth?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she organized the entire Advent thing, and just to see, I mean, you saw it when we opened up the suitcase and had all the Advent pieces there, how encouraged they were that, yes, once again, we're going to be able to do this and read those letters. So, yeah. And then also, again, to the church as a whole, as I mentioned, one of the, our sister on the field needed a new phone. And so I sent an email to the social list, and I had numerous offers for people willing just to give their phone, previous phone, and she was highly encouraged by that. So it's those small things. So something that we might take for granted, getting an iPhone and getting it switched over and all that, like we go to the Apple store and it happens. Well, guess what? There's no Apple store here. And if you were to buy an iPhone, it wouldn't be a genuine iPhone. It would be one that was not genuine. And some of those simple things. So you want to tell the story? We have to end with this, Travis.
We have to.
It's already been commented a couple times.
Yeah.
But you must tell the story of your jacket.
Yeah. Well, before I do that, since we're going to end there, let me just say one last word about just the encouragement, especially just as we're coming off of Advent. One thing that was really encouraging. Again, we're just going back to the church service, Joey's sermon, and I just want to remind you guys of this restoration, that God does not just give us the gospel, that God does not just help us out with the gospel a little bit, that God lavishes us with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at Ephesians 1, and especially being in the midst of a culture that's often hostile to the gospel, being in the midst of a place where, again, a brother and sister didn't have a ton of, you know, support in their community necessarily, but just being able to see how richly the gospel is still going forth, especially in their lives and especially in the lives of the church there, was a sweet thing to see. So Restoration, God lavishes us with the gospel, and we can't forget that. And certainly they won't, and in no small part due to the encouragement that you guys are providing.
Amen.
But at any rate,
speaking of lavished, you have a lavish jacket.
Yeah, I do have a lavish leather jacket that I'm sure you guys have seen by the time this goes out. And we were heading down to Marketplace, you know, lots of things like counterfeit iPhones and lots of things like some really nice clothes. You guys have probably seen Joey in his brand new jacket by this
point. We needed a jacket. I had to go to a wedding. I needed a jacket. I needed a sports coat.
Yeah, Restoration had to look fly, so we did. And I went out. I got this leather jacket. I go to zip it up. And, you know, what do you know? But the zipper comes up to my neck and nothing is zipped together between, you know, the waist and the neck of the jacket. The guy looks over at it. No problems.
No problem.
No big problem. Guy takes out pliers, tries to fix it a little bit. We take it to a tailor, see if he can replace it. He says, no, this is original zipper. This is really good. So over and over again, we just kept saying, no problems, no problems. It was sort of turned into a mantra of the trip. And that is kind of a sweet place to end on. That, you know, as messed up as things can be, as broken or as, you know, junky as things can appear on the surface, I mean, really, no problems. It was a sweet time. It was a good time. And I wouldn't have changed a moment of it, I don't think.
Yeah, amen, yeah. No. So thank you for your prayers, Restoration Church. God answered them. We had smooth and safe travels. I think we were able to encourage and be encouraged. And Lord willing, this will not be our last trip, to encourage our brother and sister and continue to engage in this work as we strive to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. and beyond.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Restoration Church Life Podcast. May God continue to give us the grace to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. and beyond.